What's the theme been this morning so far? Salvation. When they asked me last week what I was going to preach on, I told them I was going to preach on the story of the paralytic man. But it's the story of salvation is what it is. And this, we studied this in my Sunday night group. And the story of the paralytic man has always been focused on either the four friends that brought him or the paralytic, and not on Jesus. And that night, the lesson just hit me. This is what it means for Jesus to be our Savior and our salvation. This story, the paralytic man, for it. And there's three versions of it in the Bible. Three different authors telling it three ways. And it's neat to put them all together and what's happening. So what I hope to do in the next 25, 30 minutes is to give you the background of this story and then to really see what does it mean to be forgiven. Because that's what Jesus did for the paralytic man, was forgive him. And the result of that. So let's pray before we start and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Heavenly Father, please superintend today. Let the words that you've given me and the revelation that has occurred to me in the study be passed on. May it open other people's eyes and other people's hearts. For it is through Christ Jesus, your beloved Son, that we are saved. Amen. So we're going to start in Matthew. Yeah, that's where we're going to start. Everybody wants to go to Luke. Yours was Mark. We're going to go Matthew 9. And it says, Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Nazareth had rejected him. And so Capernaum became his hometown. And that's where he's headed back to, is what he considers his hometown, where he's most loved, most liked, and can be a preacher. So he's headed back there after taking a rest of doing all the healings and stuff. And he has a reputation. He has a reputation of being a healer. He's healed. He's raised people from the dead. He's made water into wine. He's healed people. And so that's what everybody is coming to see him for. It says, some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. So that's why they're coming for it. And then seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think he's a god? Who could forgive sins at that time, according to the teachers of the law? Just God. And for Christ to say, I forgive your sins, he's saying, I'm God. For the first time, in public, he's claiming to be God. And that's blasphemy, punishable by death. That time. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up. Pick up your mat and go home. They could see healing. They couldn't see forgiveness. And so Christ put a healing to show that he had the power to forgive. It's an amazing transition of who Christ is in front of people. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. And they praised God for sending a man with such great authority. That's Matthew's version. So let's go see what Mark says. And does he add anything to the story? It's Mark 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. So Mark identifies the town. It doesn't say that he came across the lake. This was Matthew. Matthew said he climbed into a boat and came to his hometown. So Capernaum. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on the mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Very similar in the stories and in the telling. Written several decades . You can see the Holy Spirit leading through this story, how important it is. So let's go to our scientific mind, Dr. Luke. He was a physician, and see what he has to say about it. And it's Luke 5, starting with verse 17. And it says, "One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seems that all these men showed up from every village in all of Galilee and Judea, as well as Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof, took off some tiles," and this is where some people say that the Bible isn't accurate. In Mark, they said he dug. Here they said that tiles. What they think Luke was doing was writing, his audience is Greek, and they had tile roofs. So he related to them by saying they destroyed the roof to get him down through. Same thing as Mark said, they destroyed the roof because his audience was more of the Roman, more of the Hebrew ones, and they knew what a thatch roof was. So when you write to your audience, they think that's what's happening here. It's not a contradiction. It's just something to make them understand. So they took off the tiles, and then they lowered the sick man on his mat down through the crowd right in front of Jesus. And that's what I found very interesting, is that it was the key words. Each time the body came down in front of Jesus, right in front. Okay? You know, because you think of this roof, I could have made the hole back here and I'm up here. Is that in front of me? No. But here, it's right in front of Jesus. In one of the videos I watched, they actually, Jesus listened to the footsteps, then went to the footsteps, and then rocks were falling, and then he was looking to see where the rocks were falling. So he was standing there because of the noise. Four. But the paralytic man is right in front of him, because once he's lowered, he can't move to where he needs to be. God superintends where he needs to be placed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, explaining, "We have seen amazing things today." Now Matthew said it was fear. Both Mark and Luke said it was wonder or awe. And that's the fear you need to have before God, is the awe as you stand before God's miracles. Not a cowering fear, but an awesome fear. That this is so great and so good. So let's look at this story and start placing, who are you in the story? Okay? It's interesting to look at this story from many different perspectives. Are you the crowd? One member of that crowd that's coming from all over the area to Jesus' adopted town. Now, do you have an adopted hometown? Because Jesus was rejected from his other town. But he's adopted this other place as his hometown. And have you heard about this master? Have you heard about this fantastic person? And you're going to the Civic Center, to a big conference, because you've heard about them. And what they did, that they've healed, that he's a great teacher at 30 years of age. And you just want to witness it. You just want to be part of the crowd. Are you part of that mass? You're curious. You want to know. Or are you the paralytic man that knows he can't get there by himself? That no matter what he does in life, he's dependent on someone else to take him to where he needs to go, to do what he needs to have done. But he too wants to see this master. Because it might heal him. If I can just get to him, he might heal me. We don't know what his paralysis was caused by. One of it said it was palsy, one of the commentaries I read. But we just know that he can't do for himself. Are we burdened so much sometimes by our schedules, by ourselves, our own lives, that we can't get to the refreshing waters that we need? We're all paralytic in something. Do we depend on someone else, even though we want to be independent? That's the hard one for me. I want to be independent and not be dependent. But God made me dependent when I had my first heart attack, and then when I had my open heart surgery. I learned very quickly I had to be dependent. Are we one of the four friends? It's because of their faith that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Not because of the paralytic's faith, but because of the faith of the friends that brought him there, dug the hole in the roof, made a mess, but got him in front of Jesus. It was their faith. Are you someone's faithful evangelist? Are you the one holding and bringing the person towards Jesus? Important role. It took four of them, not one. Could one have done it? I don't think one could have lowered the mat without making him fall out. In one of the videos I watched, they had him strapped all in and everything. One could have done it. He was strapped in so tight. Okay. And it was funny watching the various videos. One had him coming straight down from, had his head at the top, and they just lowered it straight. The other had him four corners lowering down. One had him upside down. And sort of thing. So you can bring Jesus many different ways. But are you one of the four that are bringing people to Jesus? So who are you in that story? That's for you to decide. Where are you right now? What's happening? Because when you come in front of Jesus like the paralytic man did, the first thing he said, what did the paralytic man want? And what did the crowd think was going to happen? And what did the four friends want? They wanted a healing. Right? And Jesus gave a healing. He knew the paralytic man needed a spiritual healing before he needed a physical. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is a spiritual healing. It is that winning over of your sins that we have. But it was because of that amazing group of people that paralytic man put his trust in to get him there. It was their faith that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And for the first time, he has publicly said, I am God. For the first time. And the religious people say, they don't dare to say it out loud because it says they said it to themselves. that this is blasphemy. Who is this? How can this man say he is God? And so he says, I heard you. Why are you thinking that in your heart? Which is another sign that he's God. God knows our thoughts. And he asked them, if you need physical proof, I'm going to give it to you, but you don't need physical proof for salvation, but you want it? Take your mat and walk. And the guy does. That's what salvation does to you. It makes you a new creature. And the paralytic man became a new creature. He became physically able to walk. He able to use his arms, roll his mat, carry it, and leave. He was a new person. And that is salvation. When your sins are forgiven and you repent of them, you are a new creature in God. You are the completed, perfect carpet and not all the knots and the mess underneath. And that's what this paralytic man, he was perfect in Christ's eye. And the crowd was amazed. And I will say, your friends get amazed if you accept Christ and become a follower. And your friends will say, what's wrong with you? I'm a new creature. I have a new love. And what did the crowd do? They praised God. Praised God. That's why we gather every Sunday, is because we believe that Christ saved us and we praise God. We worship God. That's what our gatherings are, is to say thank you, God, for allowing me to walk. Question is, have how many people here need to come out of their paralysis, have their sins forgiven, and become a new creature? Because Christ can do that for you. It only takes friends to bring you to the Lord. So who are you in this story? Ready for the hymn. The hymn that I was looking for, a hymn that summarized this, came across a brand new one called The Lord of Sea and Sky. The words are amazing. And the group that sings this is the Scotland National Choir.
Yeah.
beautiful words. I will hold your people in my heart. Will we be God's servant and do that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. But I thank you more for the insight that the Holy Spirit gives as we read the word. I have read that story many, many times. But this last time, you gave me this message. For Father, you are God Almighty, great and awesome, to be feared and loved. And let us love others because you first loved us. And Father, bless the food and the fellowship as we go forth today. For it's in your love that we greet each other, we work with each other, and we come to understand each other. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.